Beebe had never invested in a gold mine. But after 3 days of priming the pump, I left Memphis with a check for $50,000. I gave it to Mr. Sullivan, who put it in a trust account and petitioned the court for the sale of the paper. The judge, a relic who belonged in the bed next to Miss Emma, nodded benignly and scrawled his name on an order that made me the new owner of the Ford County Times. It takes at least 3 generations to be accepted in Ford County. Regardless of money or breeding, one cannot simply move there and be trusted. A dark cloud of suspicion hangs over any newcomer, and I was no exception. The people there are exceedingly warm and gracious and polite, almost to the point of being nosy with their friendliness. They nod and speak to everyone on the downtown streets. They ask about your health, the weather, and they invite you to church. They rush to help strangers. But they don't really trust you unless they trusted your grandfather. Once word spread that I, a young, green alien from Memphis, had bought the paper for $50,000 or maybe $100,000 or perhaps even $200,000, a great wave of gossip shook the community. Margaret gave me the updates. Because I was single, there was a chance I was a homosexual. Because I went to Syracuse, wherever that was, then I was probably a communist, or worse, a liberal. Because I was from Memphis, I was a subversive intent on embarrassing Ford County. Just the same, as they all conceded quietly among themselves, I now controlled the obituaries. I was somebody. The New Times debuted on March 18, 1970, only 3 weeks after the midget arrived with his papers. It was almost an inch thick and loaded with more photos than had ever been published in a county weekly. Cub Scout troops, brownies, junior high basketball teams, garden clubs, book clubs, tea clubs, Bible study groups, adult softball teams, civic clubs. Dozens of photos. I tried to include every living soul in the county, and the dead ones were exalted like never before. The obits were embarrassingly long. I'm sure Spot was proud, but I never heard from him. The news was light and breezy, absolutely no editorials. People love to read about crime, so on the bottom left-hand corner of the front page, I launched the Crime Notes section. Thankfully, 2 pickups had been stolen the week before, and I covered these heists as if Fort Knox had been looted. In the center of the front page, there was a rather large group shot of the new regime. Margaret Hardy, Baggy Suggs, me, our photographer Wiley Meek, Davey Big Mouth Bass, and Melanie Dogan, a high school student and part-time employee. I was proud of my staff. We had worked around the clock for 10 days, and our first edition was a great success. We printed 5,000 copies and sold them all. I sent a box of them to Beebe, and she was most impressed. For the next month, the New Times slowly took shape as I struggled to determine what I wanted it to become. Change is painful in rural Mississippi, so I decided to do it gradually. The old paper was bankrupt, but it had changed little in 50 years. I wrote more news, sold more ads, included more and more pictures of groups of endless varieties, and I worked hard on the obituaries. I had never been attracted to long hours, but since I was the owner, I forgot about the clock. I was too young and too busy to be scared. I was 23, and through luck and timing and a rich grandmother, I was suddenly the owner of a weekly newspaper. If I had hesitated and studied the situation and sought advice from bankers and accountants, I'm sure someone would have talked some sense into me. But when you're 23, you're fearless. You have nothing, so there's nothing to lose. I figured it would take a year to become profitable, and at first revenue increased slowly. Then Rhoda Castlelaw was murdered. I guess it's the nature of the business to sell more papers after a brutal crime when people want details. We sold 2,400 papers the week before her death, and almost 4,000 the week after. It was no ordinary murder. Ford County was a peaceful place, filled with people who were either Christians or claimed to be. Fistfights were common, but they were usually the work of the lower classes who hung around beer joints and such. Once a month, a redneck would take a shot at a neighbor or perhaps his own wife, and each weekend had at least one stabbing in the Black Tonks. Death rarely followed these episodes. I owned the paper for 10 years, from 1970 to 1980, and we reported very few murders in Ford County. None was as brutal as Rhoda Casilaw's. None was as premeditated. 30 years later, I still think about it every day.